Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. This is your host, Chris. Jonathan couldn't make it today. You know, he got that new job, new responsibility. So, you know, they calling him. He was kind of last minute, so he wasn't able to make it. We'll be here with our special guest today. I just got to say, this brother has been asking to get on a while. I'm apologizing to him for taking so long. He was the first person. We probably had almost 70 episodes now. Luckily, around episode 3 or 4, he was the first person to say, "Hey, man, I like what y'all doing. I think y'all got something good going on," and, you know, getting that positive feedback that all us podcasters love to get. Y'all know him, Loudmouth Capitan, Podcast Diddy, all of that. Got Mr. Moody from Mr. Moody's Neighborhood. What's going on, man?
Family. Look, I'm really good. Let me say this. First of all, Jonathan, how dare you put your responsibility of a job before being on when Diddy is on? Jonathan, I am very disappointed at you being a responsible adult and earning money and taking care of your family and your business. That's some bullshit. Second of all, what I want to say is, after much brown nosing, I did a lot of ass kissing. I was at the layman house cutting grass, taking out trash, washing dishes, and finally, I am now an official podcast. I'm on the podcaster. I'm on the Layman Brothers Sports Happy Hour, and I'm just happy to be here. And bro, I'm ready to get it, man.
All right, man. So yeah, if y'all want to chime in on anything we got to say, please hit us up, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com for email, on Twitter @brotherslayman, or you can leave a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Now I know you have you got your new show going on with your Jeff is Moody.
Yes, sir.
How much of a sports fan are you?
Well, I used to be a big sports fan. I pretty much watched everything except for baseball and soccer, but time goes on and you get busy and you get older, you got more responsibility, and just the kind of schedule that I have, me personally, it kind of really took me out of the games. It just so happened that every time a game was on, Chris, if I wasn't in the studio, it was a gymnastics meet.
Right.
If it wasn't a gymnast, you know, it was always something. And combined with the fact that I just wasn't able to catch sports, like in the last 2 years for the NFL, I would say that I've caught 5 NFL football games in 2 years. Seriously. And that's including the Super Bowls of the last 2 years. I've caught maybe a third of every NBA season. So along with the scheduling, and just as sports begin to get watered down, I got to keep it real with you. Mm-hmm. I kind of fell out of my love of sitting on a couch and having a beer and watching sports. Sports is just not what it used to be, and that's in every sport.
I can understand that, man. You get busy doing stuff, and, you know, getting out is always fun. And then, yeah, sports kind of, it's been all about the person and the brand and, mm-hmm. you know, more about themselves and team. And, you know, now with social media, everybody want to chime in and get a 2 cent on everything. It gets a little hectic.
And this is why, by the way, folks, the Jeff is Moody. Chris is speaking of the new show, the Tuesday show on Indian Radio, the Jeff is Moody Sports News and Entertainment podcast. And trust me, folks, when I talk about sports, if it goes longer than 2 minutes, then I'm getting besides myself. When y'all want to hear responsible sports talk, y'all tune into the Layman Brothers. When you want to hear a disgruntled sports fan vent for 120 seconds, tune in to Jeffers Moody, just to let y'all know in advance.
Yeah, please tune in to Jeffers Moody. I've enjoyed it so far, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's jump into this All-Star weekend. You know, basketball has hit this halfway point. You know, it was in New Orleans, so we know a lot of mess was going down.
Mm-hmm.
So, Star, did you watch any of the games, any of the stuff from the weekend at all?
I did. Once again, touching on how disconnected I am with sports, I missed Friday, whatever Friday was, which I heard was actually decent. What was the Friday stuff?
Friday, they do the celebrity game, and then they have, like, the basically rookie versus sophomores, in a sense.
Okay. So I did miss Friday. I was trying to do some research for the Saturday stuff. So I did sit down and I watched some of the Saturday activity. As for Sunday, all morning, I said, hey, set the television for the NBA game. Put it on your phone. Sit down and watch the All-Star game. And sure enough, while the All-Star game came on Sunday. Is that correct?
Yep. The game came on.
While that was going on, I was in Applebee's drinking. So I missed the All-Star game.
I mean, it's all right. It was, you know what, I actually missed the first half of the game. We were out running around, took the family to go see the Lego movie, which was good, by the way.
Okay.
Especially if you were ever into Legos as a kid, it's pretty cool how they did it. Came back, watched the second half. I ain't gonna front. I was a little bored, actually. I came front. I mean, I'm noticed that it broke all these records for, like, what, most combined points, most points by one team, most combined field goals made, you know, just a lot of record breaking, just points and numbers wise, but it got real boring. You know, I saw the highlights from the first half and all the Duncans getting in, and the West was blowing the East out.
Uh-huh.
And then it looked like the West was like, all right, we just going to shoot threes the whole second half. And the East kind of was like, all right, we about to go to the rack a little bit, play some better defense. And they pulled it out.
It is easy to break scoring records when nobody is playing any defense.
Right.
That's one of the problems I have with the Chris, I don't know when this started. Well, we agree that maybe from 2005 or this trend of wide open ball, I'm talking about from the tip off until about 5 minutes until the end of the game, just pure fuckery. Just shoot, not a lick of deep, not even pretending to play defense. And, yeah, it's easy to break scoring records like that. And I think that's what kind of has me a little sour on the experience, because these are the best ball players in the world. And they're not really showcasing their talent. Like, you're not showcasing your talent if you come down the lane for a dunk and nobody jumps.
Right. Not for that.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would imagine they did break every record. I just think there's a difference between now and a lot of these great All-Star games of the past.
It feels like it. I mean, it feels like when I was watching it as a kid, there would be a little more competition during the games.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, all right, we want to let the dudes kind of show off and get they dunk on. But it also sometimes felt like if a guy was going to dunk and there was, I guess because now there were more centers back in the day, they would be like, okay, I'm going to challenge you. And it was like, let's see what happens.
Right.
And it's like, oh, either dude blocks you and he get to talk his shit, like, yeah, you ain't get it, try again next time. Or, you know, the guy dunks on him and he's like, ooh, shit, what up? And then it's like, all right. You know, and then it's all in fun, but at least you were like, there's some competitive, like, all right, he ain't going to score on me. You know, at least some defense. It wasn't like a playoff game defense, but it does feel real. It feels real loose, like a little too loose for my taste.
Yeah. Now, did you? So you said you caught the second half, correct?
Yeah, I didn't see the first half. I saw the dunks, which were enjoyable in the first half, because that's what it is all about. It's like, all right, first half, let me see him throw some crap up, a lot of alley oops, and, you know, just a lot of turnovers and being carefree.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be super negative towards the sport, but there's just a reality now. I don't know of the number. What is the viewership? I know typically the NBA All-Star game is not like a blockbuster event on television, but do you know any of the viewer numbers for this year?
I don't. I have to go back and look at them. It seems like Saturday has always been the night.
Okay.
That's from what I gather. But for me, they've always promoted like Saturday night was the night, because that's when like the individuals got to show off their skills. Right. I mean, Sunday was the game, and people are excited about seeing the game. But there's something about Saturday night that gets people excited, which was probably the dunk contest. And I don't know what's going to happen with the dunk contest. It ain't the same. Now, I think you saw this dunk contest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I saw it.
Okay. Let's start. What you think of the format, first off? I know they changed it. The whole weekend was this whole East versus West. But what do you think of the format of the dunk contest this year?
I thought it sucked.
Okay.
One thing I do want to say, first and foremost, the East and the West raising, what was it, roughly $500,000 in charity money.
Mm-hmm.
That, I want to salute that. First and foremost, I think that's an outstanding thing. There's so many kids and organizations that need that money. So I do want to salute them for what this was all about. As far as the new formats of all the stuff, because the skills challenge, all of this stuff had a new format, because in the skills challenge, they turned it into a two-man thing, correct?
Right. Yeah, they did.
The three-point thing was all money. You had a rack of money balls. I get it. And the dunk thing was, I felt like it was lackluster in the sense of, I guess as far as us getting used to this format, it seemed as if they left something out. It was anticlimactic, because it was, okay, one guy really does an outstanding dunk, and that's John Wall.
Yeah.
And he deserved to win, because not only was it an outstanding dunk, but he did it on the first go. And this is something that I first began to get disgusted with the dunk contest. I don't know what year that was, but it is the year that Nate Robinson took 95 attempts to make a dunk. And finally, this bastard makes a dunk, and he beats
Iguodala.
He beats Iguodala, who was ripping the rim off.
Yeah. Jonathan and I hate, I remember that vividly, because I was like, this dude, he gonna win. And all of a sudden it was like, wait, Nate Robinson won? Like, why?
Exactly. And that's when everything went downhill. With this All-Star game, I didn't see anything that was crazy. And once, okay, Shaq, big up to Shaq for being not only all throughout his career, but now even as a commentator, being such a stand-up showman for the people. His career has been about playing basketball and winning championships, but he's been a showman. He has really embraced the fun of All-Star Weekend and what All-Star Weekend is about. You know, he's one of the very few players, and as much as I hate Dwight Howard as a, not as a person because I don't know him, but just as an athlete, and he's just a creep to me.
Right.
Dwight Howard was another guy that these guys kind of dropped their egos for the All-Star game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they had fun with it. So big up to Shaq for doing the whole sit down and crowning the kid and having the kid jump over the thing. But after John Wall makes that dunk, which was a perfect dunk,
right,
felt as if maybe they should have win again or win another round. It was just real sudden. And it was like an experiment that they said, okay. It seemed to me like they said, okay, he made a great dunk. That's it. And it just stopped for me abruptly. Although we knew what the rules were, it just seemed like it stopped too suddenly for me, Chris. I left that experience really unfulfilled.
No, I did too. Like, I remember in the dunk contest and the three-point contest where there were actually three rounds and it was like eight guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have a round where you get to all eight would dunk, and then you get to the next round where it's four, and then the four would dunk, and then you get to the round where it's just the final two.
Mm.
For the dunk contest, I didn't mind. I actually don't mind the little group joint. I mean, if they're going to continue this, I didn't mind it because it felt like it was a warm-up. Mm. Like, all right, let's let these guys kind of get, you know, warm up a little bit, get a few dunks in them, you know. And then, of course, it has a little video game-ish feel where it's like the guy, you know, throws an alley-oop, and then the second guy catches the alley-oop and then, you know, bounces it somewhere else, and the third guy does a dunk. That's kind of cool.
Right, right, right.
On the, you know, on the video games, I'm like, okay, that's kind of fresh. Mm-hmm. I like that. The only problem with it was if a guy does a nice dunk during that 90 seconds, you don't get time to kind of soak it in to be like, oh, shit, what did he just do?
Right, and that's, yeah, you can't, you have to wait till the whole sequence was over to embrace the replay, and what that does, it takes a little bit of energy out of the experience.
Right. It does. I didn't mind it because you felt like, okay, these guys seem like, all right, I'm going to do these little kind of simple dunks.
Right.
You know, just to get myself warmed up. But that did happen after, like, the East went. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, that was a hot-ass dunk. Oh, shit. Okay. Now I got to wait till I come back.
Right.
That part I didn't like. And, yeah, the second round, there has to be a third round.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't mind, all right, you want to go one mano-a-mano and then the team – because I'm like, y'all could have just done, all right, let's see whoever the team wins. And then once, you know, if they team wins 2-1, all right, well, now these three are going to dunk off and we're going to see who's a real winner.
Right.
Instead of letting, like, okay, well, now the fans get to vote who was the best dunker. And he did one, because after Paul George did his, and I was like, okay, Paul, that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he had Macklemore who dunked over the chair with Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then John Wall does it, and immediately I was like, damn, that's all. That's going to be it. Because immediately you were like, oh, shit, I want to see Paul George and John Wall go at it.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to see them mano a mano. And also, I think that perhaps, and what we were talking about earlier, Chris, before you started the show,
mm-hmm.
we were just talking about maybe – all of us the next day, every sports fan, if you will, knows what should be done. And we understand that. So, you know, we're not saying that we are the professionals at sports planning. But
right.
I think that if you're going to keep the dunk contest this way, perhaps maybe these guys can come up with a kind of like a point system. And what I mean is outside of the score of a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10, whatever, you should get a half a point or an extra point for completing a difficult dunk on the first go. So like if you like what John Wall did,
mm-hmm.
if that was a 10 dunk, for him completing it on the first go round, perhaps it should have been a 10.5. Or, you know, something like that. It's the incentive to get it right on the first time. When you George, it was an outstanding dunk that he did, but how many times did it take him to do it? It
took like, I think, 3 times.
Exactly. So what if his dunk was a 10, but it took him 3 times or whatever, so it ended up as an 8.5 or a 9? You know, I'm kind of sketchy because I just thought about that just now. But they have to make it a little more interesting as far as scoring because it's just bland. It's very bland. And if you miss an X amount of dunks, I get it. You got a time frame in which you can try to get these dunks going. But the reason people are turned off by the dunk contest, which is, once again, I'm going back,
right,
why it was so ridiculous that Nate Robinson would win a dunk contest is, by the time you missed, I don't give a damn if you were going to jump in the air, do a goddamn ninja flip in the air, and dunk the ball with your left nut. If it took you 8 times to do it, it's not really that impressive after a while.
No, it does. It loses its luster. You're like, all right, have you been practicing this dunk, you know, a while? Because that's what I thought guys used to do. You just, you would try to practice these dunks. So like, all right, I know what I got in my pocket.
Right.
And I'm going to pull, okay, you did this. All right, I'm going to pull this one out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, shit. And it felt like, I guess, most guys did they dunks on the first time. I'm pretty sure back in the day, you know, it took a guy a second or third time. But they didn't do nothing where it was like, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, that's, I don't want to say that. How should I say this?
Mm.
Part of the problem is, to me, with the dunks, that's not necessarily on the new generation, is it got to a point where the dunks that Jordan and them did, people could do, but now you've seen it.
Right.
Like, in between the legs is cool, but now that it's like every year a guy does an in between the leg dunk, at some point it's like you have to add something to that. Because if you just go in between your legs and dunk it, like I seen Isaiah Ryder did it first, mm-hmm. and every year somebody's doing it, it gets kind of, oh, you got to put some flair into it. So guys try to do more difficult stuff or try to use props, which mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people don't like that. A lot of older heads, they're like, you know, what's with all these props? But you got to do something exciting because, I mean, nobody's done a 720.
Exactly.
Or at least like I don't know if somebody's like, I'm going to try to do a 540 reverse or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen guys do a 360 and that's hard, but you would think, well, now that guys can jump 80 feet in the air, you know, and I didn't watch, you know, NBA Jam when I was a kid, they can't jump in the air and spin around five times.
Well, you're correct. And I'm going to tell you, as in awe as we were with Jordan and Dominique, and let's not forget Kenny Skywalker competing right after his father died,
mm-hmm.
Way back in the day. I don't know if that was 86, 87, whatever that was. Well, I don't even know if that was the 80s. I'll pull it up. Like you said, Chris, did I say Kenny Smith or Kenny? I said Kenny Skywalker for
you
the
Knicks,
right? You
said Kenny Skywalker, yeah. You did.
These guys, those dunks that we were like, oh my God, these kids now, they can do those dunks with their suits on. Like they can step out of their SUVs and do that dunk all of the stuff that Jordan did, all of the stuff that Dominique did. Yes, it's child's play for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that still what makes that era of dunking better than this era, there are a couple of things. One of the biggest things, and unfortunately with today's athlete, This will come up time and time again, no matter what we're talking about. In fact, it may be a theme for this particular show. One thing is, Chris, that Jordan, Dominique, Spud Webb,
mm-hmm.
Who are some more slam dunk great? Drexler.
Vince Carter.
We don't have to name just the champions. We just talk about the guys that were in there going for it. One thing that these guys did that these newer guys can't do, when we look at these guys doing dunks three and four times, okay. Well, we look at Vince Carter doing dunks that we had never seen before on the first go round.
Yep.
And you know why? Because Vince Carter, Michael Jordan jumping a little past the past the free throw line, Dominique throwing all kind of savagery down. One thing they didn't care about, Chris, is what is their image if they miss a dunk?
Yeah.
If they lose a contest, like, oh my God, this is, and you said something that was super duper true and dope as we were prepping, and I'm sure you'll say it again, but one thing that's missing is that these guys are so concerned about image that when they get up there and they don't want to go all out. Now, you remember Vince Carter. Did he look to you like he gave a damn?
Oh, no.
Missed the dunk or not?
Nah, you heard John in the last, and he was just like, he ruined it. Mm-hmm. Like, he came out that first dunk and was like, it's over with. I'm winning this shit. You're like, okay.
Yeah, and that showmanship.
Yeah.
That showmanship alone was what it was all about, and the players. You know, this year with the dunk contest, where were all these guys at? Where were all the A-list guys? Maybe I missed them, but I know that those dunk contests of the past, one of the most entertaining thing outside of the dunks, Chris, was the sideline activity.
Right.
They were cutting up harder than the actual guys that was dunking the ball. And now it may not really be cool to hop up and down and go cat shit crazy over a dunk, because that may mean that you're jocking somebody or not, you know, nowadays. So there's a lot of elements to what went wrong with it. But once again, with this contest in particular, for John Wall to catch that dunk and for that to be it, it was like tanking a bear for me. You know, it was like having a great beer, forgetting you had it, Chris, and waking up in the morning and now it's cold on the shelf. And you're like, damn, wow, I have 50% of beer left and I wasted it. Right. That's what I feel like with this dunk contest, like it was a tanked beer. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. It just, they were happy to get some named people, you know, like Paul George, Yat Wall, Damian Lillard, who actually was pretty good himself on the West.
Yes,
who made some
yes.
nice dunks. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you used to have guys who either one who were playing on Sunday who decided to be in a dunk contest on Saturday.
Right.
So you'd have guys who were like, all right, I know these guys. I want to, you know, they actually going to get in there and dunk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had guys who were kind of borderline all-stars. Mm-hmm. Guys who, you know, probably could make it or wanted to make it and just couldn't. And it mm-hmm. was a way of like, all right, let me put my name out there. Let me let people know what I can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, you know, just try some shit
mm-hmm.
and see what happens. And we don't have a lot of guys who want to do that. You know, I don't want to mess my brand up, all of that. And, you know, we can talk about Mr. King James quickly, because I understand why everybody wants him in. I haven't read, I guess, where Dr. J did a dunk contest at age 34. So technically he still has time. My thought is he should have done it his first 5 years in the league. Now he's like, I don't want to do it. He does have that, like, everybody said there's no win. There's no win for him. He has to go above and beyond. You know, or look like he going to get embarrassed and somebody out-dunked him.
Mm.
You know, the little game tape he did. I mean, part of that is annoying. It's like, if you don't want to participate, then don't.
Right.
But don't like, all right, I'm going to put on a little, I'm going to put my own show on to show that I can be in a dunk contest if I wanted to. I'm just not. You know, the whole week of showing the video and they're like, oh, wow, if he did that in a dunk contest, he would just win automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me is like, well, first off, they're in a small gym, so you can't bounce basketballs off walls the All-Star game. One. Now, if you could do that, that would be hot.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hold it in some little small gym, fine. That would be fresh. I like to see somebody bounce some shit off of three walls and then do a trick with it. That would be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the dunks he did weren't all that amazing. To me, I've seen it done before. I'm like, okay, that was cool, but it wasn't like, oh my God, you pulled something out your ass. Like, okay, you caught an alley-oop and you reversed it. Okay, I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And three, it's fucking LeBron James. If he comes in and does average dunks, he's going to win.
Right.
Just because, it's LeBron James, he's automatically he's the favorite. And if he makes every dunk the first time, even if the dunks are so-so, he going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably aware of that. And he probably doesn't want to put himself at risk. I mean, he's at this point now, I'm like, you playing for MVPs and championships. You don't want to be in a dunk contest, fine. They're going to ask you about it until you retire. And if he does it now, it feels like he's just giving in. Like, oh, this is what they want. I'll do it. I'm fine with it. And I just want him to just stop. Like, say, look, I appreciate it. I'm not interested. Stop jerking us around.
Yeah.
People begging him, please participate. I'm like, fine. He participates. Then we get this saying, he participates. Everybody says the dunk contest is back. And then the next year after that, it sucks again.
Right. Right. Can I be completely honest here?
Of course you can.
LeBron James is a dick tease. He's a dick tease, dude. He, you know, and this is what irritates me about him. I understand everything you're saying, and I agree. I agree. Here's the thing. We named Shaq as ambassadors of, let's not say the regular season. Let's just say All-Star Weekend. A couple of ambassadors for All-Star Weekend. Shaquille O'Neal, Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson. In a softer kind of laid back way, Michael Jordan. Mouthy guys that were going to entertain you, maybe not even from the standpoint of basketball, but always had something to say. Gary Payton.
Right.
Charles Barkley. You know, the guys like this. LeBron has to realize it's his absolute right to not enter a dunk contest. He does not have to enter it. Just that video that we're speaking of with LeBron doing all the dunks, he does that shit on people in games half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it. We get it, LeBron. But being an ambassador to All-Star Weekend now is not like it was before. And once again, Chris, we will get in trouble for romanticizing, which is one of the most irritating words to me in the world, which says that, hey, how dare Chris Layman and Mr. Moody, how dare you guys talk about how it used to be good? LeBron has to understand, along with the George kid from Indiana,
mm-hmm.
he got it. He figured it out. You have to be an ambassador to this sport. Big up to the Curry kid, Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy is a premium shooter, probably one of the best pure strokes we've ever seen in the NBA, in NBA history. Yep. With that being said, when I found out he was in a three-point contest, I didn't even think it was a use in me watching the three-point contest. I said, damn, he's going to hit these shits with his eyes closed. He loses.
Right.
He's not upset. He's laughing about it. And now on the next go round, he's standing up clapping for the guys that advanced, even though he didn't. That is what you call an ambassador. That's somebody that you say, well, you know what? It's not about his ego. When we speak in terms of marketing and promoting something, fans pick up on that. See, sponsors pick up on that. The fun of the game. I think LeBron, just the way that he wears the only 5X headband in the history of sports, just to cover a receding hairline. LeBron, you're going in history as one of the greatest basketball players to ever touch a basketball. Why are you concerned what people are saying about your hair? Take your goddamn headband, looks like a Scully cap. Take that shit off. You're LeBron James. You can do, you're too concerned with your ego and your brand. And what'll happen if I get in there and I don't win? You know what'll happen if you get in a dunk contest and don't win, LeBron? If you throw down some Munster dunks and laugh and run into the stands and get some fans high five, and if one of your competitors throws down a Munster dunk and you go jump on them and knock them to the floor the way you did that fan that hit the half court shot in Miami, what you will do to your legacy, you will actually increase the value of your legacy. It won't be about you winning or losing, but that is hard to tell to today's ego, maniacal, me athletes. And one more thing, mm-hmm. LeBron has never been good at timing. he's a great guy.
Right.
He has a right to play where he wants to play. And I hear people talking about he's not going to stay in Miami. Who cares? The dude can do whatever he wants to do. But he has a little problem with timing. LeBron is that guy that says, you know what? I know I'm leaving Cleveland. I know I'm leaving. My people know I'm leaving. But I'm a dick tease. So what I'm going to do is I am going to do the most asinine thing in sports history. I am going to create this whole media event as if my heart is still torn. Screw the city. And by the way, Cleveland, you sports fans, y'all suck ass. And y'all are the most pathetic people in the world. But so I'm not defending him. But what I'm saying is, he says, screw everybody except for my media circus. this is at a point where you don't need to really do that. He has bad timing. Now, you put out this video, or you let somebody put this video out right before the All-Star weekend, where the dunk contest is, really has been in shambles for years.
Yeah.
This is LeBron saying, me, 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 tease, tease, tease. Take me out on a date, buy me drinks, we'll go back to your place, I'll get naked, I'll give you a lap dance, I'll give you a hand job, but we just can't sleep together. That is going to be one of the legacies of LeBron James as far as sports is concerned.
No, he's going to get a... They're going to start begging his ass. I mean, they feel like they're doing it already. Mm. But it's like, well, let's get some superstars to beg him to be in the dunk contest. Yeah, okay. Like, if he don't want to do it, he don't want to do it. But I agree with you. If he came out there and was like, I'm a dunk and I'm going to go out full force and everybody's expecting him to win and somebody beats him, then it's like, okay, well, the dude was better. That's what's up. Hey. I give him his props. I'm like, and just be like, this dude dunked his ass off.
Exactly. Chris, man, now you know you ain't preaching nothing but the truth. You know, reaction means a lot. It's the reaction of what people do. You know, it's like if we go to a music concert. An artist can stand on stage and recite the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go crazy for that. If you're just standing on it, hey, my, nah. But Chris, if you're jumping up and down and you're on top of the speaker, you're in the crowd, you can even miss a line in the song. And you know what people will do? They'll say, that was the greatest concert I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So LeBron has to realize that if you care about the game now, I'm a little iffy with athletes. Hey, if you don't want to do it, this league doesn't give a damn about you. They don't care about you. So LeBron is LeBron till he gets a career-ending injury, and then he'll be Derrick Rose, ridiculed and hated for getting hurt, which is the dumbest thing in the world.
Right.
So I get that. But these guys have to start being better ambassadors of a weekend that really is supposed to represent the best that the NBA has to offer. And they're not doing it because they're too goddamn cool for school.
Yeah, I don't get why they're scared. Like, the three-point contest, to me, lately has been better. Just because you'll get them star players and guys who can actually shoot the rock.
Right,
and
right.
Get in it, and it's just all skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's not in-game. You just you taking out of a rack and shooting it. The addition of the money ball rack wasn't actually bad.
Not at all.
I don't know how I feel about it, but it wasn't terrible. And the fact that they can put it where they want and it's just a little extra. Okay, that's, you know, you got extra like 4 points in there. That's cool. I'm with that. I like that Bellinelli one for the Spurs, repping that. But that was cool. I do like how you will always get at least a name player or two. Hopefully we get to see Curry and Klay Thompson go at it against each other.
We will.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, we will.
I like the addition of the skills competition just because it seems like the guard position has gotten really big the last decade.
I'll agree. Got
a lot of really good point guards and small guards and, you know, can they really, you know, shoot and pass and all of that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. That's a nice little appetizer before the two big events. So I'm with that, and you'll always get some young guys in there. The team aspect of it, I'd rather see one guy win it.
Right.
I don't want to see, like, oh, it's two people, three people sharing the title. I'm like, well, let them go at it, and let's see who's better than one of them.
Right. You know what? And I agree with it. One more thing with the dunk contest, Chris. If these guys, if they were really embracing the sport and if they really understood that basketball is global, baseball is supposedly global, but I don't think impact-wise, because basketball is a sport that a underprivileged person can play. It's a sport that anybody with a bouncing ball can play, and that's why globally it's so accepted.
Right.
If they really were about that business, what they would do is drop these egos. And if you want to reinvent it, and maybe, Chris, they will hire us for the slam dunk committee. Neither one of us like working for free, so they're going to have to come with a check. But let me tell you something. If they really want to bring this contest back, and if they really give a shit about the global sentiment towards United States basketball, American basketball, what they would do, they would go all out and they would do NBA players versus the and one dunkers or the best high school. If they want to do this team crap, the number one high school, the top four high school dunkers in America, the top four college dunkers in America, with the top four NBA dunkers in America, team them up, different levels of skill, different energy levels, different ages. If you talking about bringing people out of their seat to get an unknown guy, you know, relatively in comparison to like a LeBron or somebody.
Right.
To get an unknown character from off the street, Spider from And One, or one of these insane guys with the steroid legs in And One.
Right.
To put these guys up against LeBron, let me tell you something. People are tuning in. But you know why that's not going to happen? Because an NBA player is going to say, ain't no way I'm putting my reputation on the line up against no dude off the street. But Chris, I want you to think about that. If they mix it up and they bring it in, you can bring the ladies in. Drop the goddamn goal to 8 feet or 9 feet and let some of these ladies get some shine. You got to get more creative than just saying, we're going to get one spectacular dunk per person and then call a contest.
No, they got to, because that's basically what it is. You got a group dunks, and then, you know, if they sweep like they did, then it's like, all right, you get one dunk, and then that's it. Right. And that definitely is not going to cut it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought about that, though, having, like, the N1s in there, guys who are like, all right, well, if y'all don't want to dunk, mm-hmm. bring in some people who do want to dunk.
Right.
You know, and the N1 cats will pull shit out their ass.
Right. Can I ask you a question about not so much the physical part of the dunk contest? I'm talking about the camera work of mm-hmm. the dunk contest this year as opposed to previous years. Do you feel that they did a good job of covering the floor and crowd and celebrity and player reaction this year?
No, not. I didn't really see any. You know, normally they let you know who all is in the crowd. Like, I didn't really see any celebrities sitting around.
Right.
Like,
right.
Oh, these are these guys from that are playing on Sunday. They here watching. Mm. It wasn't. Nick Cannon was boring as hell. I'm sorry.
Oh God. Look, okay, I'm going to sit. This is your show, bro. you just go ahead and tell me when I can say something.
No, I'll say. Yeah, he wasn't hyping me up. I don't know if maybe because what he was giving wasn't that great, but he was just boring. I'm like, he is not hyping it up. Either he's trying and nobody's getting into it, or he's just not good at it. Mm-hmm. That part drove me crazy. But yeah, there was no like, all right, who's in the stand? Let me show, you know, ain't no celebrities. I mean, it's in New Orleans. I would think it's going to be, you know, some more. Now, I'm sure next year when it's in New York, it's probably going to be celebrities out the ass.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I was kind of shocked, like, all right, it's Drake, but, I mean, there's a guy from Toronto who's dunking. Okay, I seen Diddy. But that was it. It wasn't like, where are the actors at? Where are the musicians at? Where are they at?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when the dunk contest came on, one of the primary reasons I turned it on, because I knew I would get to see Drake. That's the only reason I really watched this shit, to be honest with you. Come on, man. I mean, NBA, you got to wake up. This is a participation sport. And those camera angles, I don't know if you do this. I do this a lot. Like, if I'm looking at sports clips on YouTube, mm-hmm. and maybe it's just me, but after you see the play, one thing that I've always done, I always go back, Chris, and I take my eyes off of the play and I scan the crowd for a reaction. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, you kind of see what he does it, what everybody else's reaction to it is.
Yeah, and it's a lackluster event because I think they are forgetting along, they are just falling into the athlete worship. They are forgetting about the people that fund the sport.
Right.
You got it. Where was LeBron? Where was LeBron? I know Kobe is. Where was Kobe for the dunk contest on camera? Where was LeBron? Where was, maybe I missed him. Where was Stoudemire? Where were these guys huddled up in their Sunday's best or their hip hop clothes? Because all these Negroes think they rappers. Where were these guys? Where were they at pumping up the dunk contest, turning around to the crowd saying, get up, let's go. Let's, where were they at? Who is in charge down there that they are missing this?
No, I feel there should be more celebrities. I mean, you would think with New Orleans, you'd have some Cash Money niggas or Wayne and all them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Red LeBron James normally goes, but he decided not to attend. And I'm like, well, you done put on this fiasco before the dunk contest. Yeah, of course you don't want to be there. You want to answer some questions. Yeah. But it was LeBron. Like,
way, way to go, Bron.
Right. You see some, like I saw Durant and Harden there, but you didn't see a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is that because maybe you're not interested in the dunk contest or any of that All-Star Saturday stuff? But it was a little shocking to me. It was kind of sad, to say the least.
Yeah. It wasn't the Chris, please just tell me when we're done with the dunking. But another thing is with the judges, listen, we get it. You got guys that can never be matched. We get that. We got that. Here's the whole thing. Switch it up. We don't know what the NBA does behind the scenes. Have you guys reached out to, how about a judging panel of, well, I want to say Pat Summitt. I know she's not in a good way right now, bless her heart. But I want to say, how about a panel of a iconic female judge and mixed with a Chris, imagine Michael Jordan judging a dunk contest, which obviously none of the dunks will be good enough to please Michael. But that's not the point. It's imagine this mixture of a high profile female coach.
Right.
Michael Jordan. You got to always throw Dominique. Imagine just this funny mixture of people, and imagine throwing a celebrity comic on the dunk panel and giving him a mic and letting him bring relief. NBA, what in the hell are y'all doing? Think. You got to let them old people go from up there. 79-year-old people should not plan dunk contests, y'all.
No, they shouldn't. They should have. I agree. They need to have something. When Magic was up there, I was kind of like, all right. I wouldn't have been mad if you have at least two former dunk contest winners and throw in maybe somebody who's either who was like a famous ball player from that city.
Right.
Or like something like that. Yeah. But I'm like, three is not enough. You can have five. I know Jordan's been on it once, but I'm like, if you have Dominique and Dr. J on there, they covering it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have like, if this is going to be in New York, you have like Walt Frazier dunking. And then, you know, because you had me thinking about what the I would not mind really if they lowered the net, but like, all right, let's see if these women can dunk.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Get the girls and lower the rim down to 8 or 9 feet. But see, you got to remember the society we live in now. Oh, they lowered the rims down to 8 or 9 feet. That's discrimination against female athletes. We're in a psychotic, like we're like in a terror dome. But I think the judges. Imagine Cedric the Entertainer on the judge panel.
Yeah, they need somebody at least, if not on the panel, at least one of them guys like the and-one, somebody who's like after every dunk or something is just going to keep yapping.
Right.
And just loosening the crowd up while the guy gets ready and all that. That actually would be pretty cool. Instead of just like, all right, it's quiet, they say something. And Nick Cannon's like, oh, okay, blah, blah, I'm boring. If somebody was like, oh, snap. And then, all right, what you going to do next, bro? What you going to do? Something like that.
Chris, we need to apply. Because I can see one of these comedians with LeBron like, all right, y'all, LeBron getting ready to dunk now. He got 30 seconds to dunk before that tight-ass headband cut all the oxygen off from his brain. You know, something like that would bring people to the floor.
Right.
People would laugh. LeBron would be laughing. Everybody would be laughing. But everybody is protective of the brand. And you better believe that there's a greasy sports agent someplace letting his client know and letting the league know, don't do this, don't say that, don't do this, and maybe he'll participate in the dunk contest. Maybe I don't understand business over consumer satisfaction. And maybe that's my flaw right there.
No, they just need some work, and they know it. And I think they're going they'll keep messing around with it and trying it, but it does gonna need some kind of pizzazz or something in it. Yeah, and I do agree with you on Saturday. I do like the fact that all the money is going to charity because these guys don't seem to need it. You know, it was like $35,000 at some point. These guys is making $1 million, so it was like that's not an incentive for them to play. So I do like all the Saturday events with all the money going to charity. I do like that.
I thought that was awesome. So NBA, Jonathan, Chris Layman, Mr. Moody, my name is Jeff Robinson. When y'all cutting the checks, listen, cut the check, have some liquor there. Let's sit down, have a meeting, and we'll get y'all back on track. Y'all hit Chris up and he'll reach out to me.
Yeah, we'll work it out. We'll work that out. Before we leave basketball, I know we were talking about LeBron. You know, recently he said eventually we'll be on the Mount Rushmore of NBA. Mm-hmm. And they asked him who his four were. And, of course, he had Bird, Magic, Jordan. And then after a long thought, he put the Big O up there. My question to you is, one, do you have a problem with him? Or what do you think of him saying that basically he is going to be up there? And what do you think of his choices?
Now who did he put up there again?
He put up Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and his fourth, which I personally think is who he's going to feel like he's going to replace.
Right.
So he put Oscar Robertson as his fourth person.
Okay. I never have a problem with an accomplished player and a mannerable one, because even though I said he's a tease,
mm-hmm.
it must be admitted LeBron James is a hell of a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a problem with a two-time world champion. What is he, a two-time MVP?
He's four-time MVP.
Four-time MVP. MVP. What is it for the finals?
He's a two-time finals MVP. He's got two championship rings.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with an accomplished person that can back up what they say out of their mouth with their game. I don't have any problem at all with his selection.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any problem at all with him adding himself up there. I don't look at that as arrogance. I look at that as confidence. If he walks it and he talks it on that basketball court, I don't have a problem with it at all. Why should he think any different?
Part of it is, to me, it's always these, it seems like in the last few years, it's just like all these lists of, well, who's the top five and, right. you know, all of that. And people get mad. And I know they asked Kobe about his, and he had the same three of Bird, Magic, and Jordan. And he had Wilt. Mm. No, yeah, well, he had Russell instead of the Big O. Mm. I think Kevin Durant gave his. And that's too hard for me because, one, if you're talking about the modern NBA, that's different than if you're talking about the NBA as a whole.
Right, right, right.
You know, I grew up in that era, so of course Bird, Magic, and Jordan would be easy for me to say, to throw in, because I've seen them. But if I'm doing one for the whole league, it's hard for me. I mean, one, on some of these guys, it's like there's one big man.
Right.
And even he didn't put one on there. You know, Jonathan and I have had all of these conversations on where we think guys rank. I think it's almost, I almost feel like you got to have more than one big guy there. It's hard to leave Kareem off. How you leave, you know, Oscar Robertson should be there for sure. Mm. I mean, it's too many guys. And I think it is a modern NBA. I think at some point it feels like everybody feels the NBA started in the 80s.
Right. Right.
So everybody who came before that, it's like once Bird and Magic got there, then the NBA became alive, which it was in a bad spot until then. But it wasn't mm-hmm. sucky. It wasn't like there weren't any great players before that.
Yeah, I agree.
it just kind of like, once it came on again and saw these debates and like, ugh, I was like, everybody's mount top four is going to be different. What's the qualifications on it? You know, do we get to put somebody old or, you know, it's all fodder and it's always great for people to throw it out there. But I'm at this point now, I'm like, can we please stop? You know, yeah. and then criticizing somebody, because if somebody leave one person off that they think should be on there, it's like, oh, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Look, you have to do that. If you're going to do the Mount Rushmore thing, if it has to be that, you have to do it by era. Yeah. You can't even do 70s to now. You can't. I've never been one to agree that a lot of people say, well, Wilt Chamberlain could still score 100 points in the game. I would say no, he couldn't. That was just my personal opinion. The game is extremely physical. Well, maybe with the sad state of today's big men, but I don't think that would happen. I think it's a different kind of game right now. And as unfair as that is to say, I think it's even more unfair to, you can't mix the eras like that unless you are talking about the eras in themselves. I mean, as phenomenal as Dr. J was, he was considered athleticism beyond athleticism.
Right.
Well, your average guy now, Iguodala, is run faster, jump higher, dunk harder, and he ain't got the afro. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's unfair. People were great in their era. To try to cross those eras is not logical just by way of some of those greats of 40, 50, well, 55, 60, 70s, and you got greats now that are 25 to 35. So I think that LeBron, if you think you're going to be on the Mount Rushmore basketball, throw your ass up there. I know that if I got to vote on it, LeBron, I'm putting Kobe Bean Bryant ahead of you right now, but it's just my personal thing.
Right, and that's where it is now. He still has a long way to go. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, that you were right on the money with that. It's just too hard to compare eras.
Right.
The rules are different. You know, you play who you're supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I mean, guys are, you know, more athletic now, but there's no hand checking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just hit a guy too hard, and it's like, oh, it's a flagrant versus, you know, when I was a kid watching, a hard-ass foul would just be a regular foul.
Right, right.
You just get your ass up after you knocked out and just like, all right, mm-hmm. let me get up and shoot these free throws.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The eras are different, and you know, like I said, there's not a lot of big men nowadays. And could Wilt score 100? Probably not, because if you know the guy scored 100, you probably ain't gonna let him touch the ball at all.
Well, exactly. And they would throw a power. They throw a four on Wilt. They would throw a 255 pound power forward on Wilt and muscle Wilt out of the box or something.
Yeah, or just make. They wouldn't make him. They wouldn't let him score. They're like, all right, mm-hmm. we just gonna let your role player score, and mm-hmm. we'll just double team you the whole damn game.
Exactly.
And he probably still dominate on mm-hmm. some level, but you know, it is too hard to compare. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Before we go to break and we get into these real heavy topics, I know you were a New York guy.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, stand up.
BK.
And I know you don't watch a lot of baseball, but as a New York guy, did you have any feelings on with Derek Jeter saying he's going to retire after this season?
Well, honestly, I really don't give a shit about baseball. but with that being said, I do. I'm a New Yorker. I love my city. I bleed my city. And I do know that he is iconic. In New York. So when he did say he was retiring, although I may not be a baseball fan, what he has done for the city in the way that he's done it with class,
mm-hmm.
he's done it in a way that is becoming very rare amongst top level, top tier athletes. Five series. Is it five or four?
He's got at least four. He might have five, but he got at least four for sure.
So four or five championships. This guy's, I'm sure he's a leader in a lot of Yankee stats and as well as baseball stats, period.
Mm-hmm.
So him announcing that he retired, you don't have to be a diehard fan of the sport that he plays to appreciate the professionalism in which he approached the sport, the work ethic, the dedication he had to the sport, and also being quite a distinguished gentleman off of that field. So him saying that he's retiring, it's a definite loss for baseball, and I don't have to watch baseball to know that.
Right, yeah. I know Jonathan and I will probably get into it more as the season progresses and all his numbers and where he ranks and all that. But, you know, it feels like it's the end of an era. This right. guy represents pretty much the 90s up to now, this winning era of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he always handled himself gracefully. He kind of stayed himself out of the media as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff I keep hearing with him is that he wanted to do things his way.
Right.
There's a way he chose to do things. And, you know, a lot of it was respectful. A lot of it was, you know, he was always like he was a team guy.
Right.
And they said he chose to do it this way because, you know, he wanted just to get it out there. And he wants to be have his life defined on his own terms and not being mm-hmm. told what to do, which is great. I love that. And I hope he gets a lot of the praise he deserves because, you know, he's on one of them teams that people don't like, you know, right. I'm not like always pulling for Derek Jeter, but the guy always seemed like, even though he might not be the best at one thing, the guy just came through whenever it was time that they needed a hit or a big defensive play or anything like that. This dude always stepped up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and play regular season playoffs, especially World Series. Once again, I would watch the series if the Yankees were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I would have watched the World Series when the Mets were playing. If you're from New York, I was going to watch the series. But no, I mean, you're right, Chris. Listen, Style. It's a lost art form. We're losing more than a baseball player. The city and the sport in itself, they're losing an artist. They're losing a gentleman.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of them left anymore.
Yeah, and for Yankee fans, I mean, guys, hope you better find another one at some point. Because, I mean, you already have Mariano Rivera, who was a class guy. He retired last year.
Mm.
And now Derek Jeter is just that, you know, that era. And, you know, one of the greats of the – he's going to be Yankee lore, of course. Mm-hmm. And deservedly so.
Yes.
So, you know, wish him luck. I'm pretty sure he's happy that it will be all about him this season and not A-Rod, since A-Rod will be gone.
Absolutely.
I think that was so, like, I think he knows, I was like, wow, this couldn't be a better time for him to retire.
Yeah, tell me about it, dude. A-Rod is on the complete end of that spectrum right there, my friend.
Yep.
And plus, by the way, one last thing about Derek Jeter, big up to him. He slept with every woman I wanted to sleep with. I just thought that we should throw that in there on top of his sports accolades.
Oh, no, he was getting butt, like, yeah. thrown at him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just like, oh, he's just, I guess that sex symbol for Major League Baseball. I don't know. I don't look at it like that. But it just seemed like it was like, oh, Derek Jeter's out with this chick. Derek Jeter's out with that chick.
Mm-hmm.
And really wasn't putting the business out there.
Right.
Getting caught real with pictures and all that, like A-Rod and shit. He was kind of discreet with it, but he was getting hoes.
And I love the fact that not a lot of tell-alls about Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter was slaying that ass, and he was still being a gentleman about it, not making illegitimate children. I mean, what a stand-up guy, sports and sex. And in fact, I think they should have two retirement celebrations for him, one for sports. And one for all the ass that he leaves behind.
Hope y'all been enjoying the conversation with me and Moody. We just, you know, get to talking and time just flies by. Next thing you know, it's like, wow, okay, I got to split this up into two parts. But it's all good, man. We had a good time doing it, and I can't wait to give y'all part two. Please check out Mr. Moody over at NDN Radio. You can find his show on Stitcher and iTunes and any place you can find ours. Just look under Mr. Moody's Neighborhood, and there you go. As for the Sports Happy Hour, just look under Black Is on the iTunes Stitcher, and you'll find us there. You can also find us at our homepage, blackisonline.com. y'all want to hit us up, give us any comments, any feedback, please do. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com, on Twitter @BrothersLayman, or on the voicemail 323-455-4219. And this has been the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Like a drug deal gone wrong. Make it out alive, you won't be that way long. Plus y'all niggas is bush leaguers, and I bet you y'all ain't getting no bush neither. My hood dog sing songs of rejection and pain. If we get sunshine, it's followed up with rain. Like to lay your chick down and get a rest in the brains. My man Steve, know you saw, so he's stressing your chain. We see tomorrow through the shades of it might not come. Got to get it all now, cause we might be done. Matrix, nigga, you looking at the one. Fortified with a bona fide, blasting up a gun. We in the space for positioning, money men are listening. Living out our lives while certain cats just looking in. We bewildered off the sacks of the green. Whether the Bay, LA, or Chicago, or Queens, you better raise your game. They coming at you high, you better raise your game. Don't ask no questions why, nigga. To speak figuratively, I'm in this shit. And to speak literally, you in some shit. My dominance grows, and you can see it from the posture I'm holding. Yo, I'm reeling up while the rest is folding. A hip hop cat who's flown worldwide and experienced adventures like Poseidon. Bump heads with R&B chicks, give them one hit joint, and they looking for the remix. The shit that I spit like plain clothes, D. Surprise you legit, make your whole team freeze. I'm so irregular, earphone to cellular. Let's celebrate, cause your man is a hell of a. Fill in the blank with a good thing to fill in. We hold it still, plus we walking with still chance. Blindsiding up in your own reality. While we in the heat of the moment, fuck morality. I really wanna see you rise to my joint, ma. I'm looking straight, don't see your eyes, get the point, ma. However you do it, I'm doing you back, yeah. Don't misconstrue it, cause I'm screwing you back, yeah. Rappers better count my presence as they downtime. I gotta move around, don't have no fuck around time. So you better just be on back with just ass stack, yeah, yeah. To make it this funny brothers on my nerves, I ridiculous. I guess I really gotta do it. Put my game down, hold the game, fucking blew it. Put my name down, and it seems you fucked up like a drug deal gone wrong. Make it out alive, you won't be that way long. Plus, y'all niggas is bush league, and I bet you y'all ain't getting no bush either. And I bet you y'all ain't getting a hoop come either. I bet you that y'all ain't getting a hoop come either. I bet you that y'all ain't getting a hoop either. I'll move around to the beat of this hand. I'm gonna be the boy,